but image. Now we do sometimes really focus on image. You know, what's that all about? Well, image, they say, is everything. I say it depends on what image you're talking about. What kind of image? You hear, I got to keep up my image. Sometimes I think what that means is it's about what others think about you, right? What others think about you, see. And indeed, how you see yourself. I think that that's really, as our second slide comes up, it's about how you see yourself, huh? How you see yourself. What do you want to look like? Kim and I just returned from the Silicon Valley, which is one of the most wealthy areas in the whole world. The home of Google, right? Facebook, Apple, among others, technology firms. You see a lot of wealthy people there. Never saw so many Maseratis and Ferraris and cars that you don't typically see running around the streets of San Jose and San Fernando Valley there in the San Francisco. You know, you see a lot of wealthy people and a lot of wannabes too, you know, who you can tell are just trying to look like others who have, you know, people trying to look like someone else, trying to project a certain image, trying to project the right image in order to get ahead, to get what they think they want. And then, you know, what happens to people when they don't feel like they're measuring up to that image, you know, when they look at themselves and they think, you know, well, I'm too fat or too skinny or too poor or too old, you know? This is the way people really get hurt, rejected, left out, bruised, even crushed under the weight of the sin of wrong comparison. The sin of wrong comparison. And comparing ourselves to others is a sin that blocks our ability to really rightly relate to God and receive from Him. Comparing ourselves with others is the source of diseases like inferiority, right? It really is. Or superiority, depending upon, you know, who you think you are. Comparison. You know, it causes coveting what others have, doesn't it? It causes you to feel like you're just not measuring up. Comparison is a terrible thing. I'm glad that, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they looked at each other, they didn't have to compare their spouse with anyone else. And they didn't have to feel like they were being compared to anyone. There wasn't any. But wouldn't that have been a glorious thing? When you never had to feel like you had to look like someone else, measure up. Today, I want to talk to you about a word that burned in my heart all week. As Kim knows, I jumped on the plane coming back from our missions meeting. Where we were, the SEAPC mission meeting, and I just couldn't write fast enough. I didn't take my computer, so I'm, you know, snail mail in an old-fashioned way, right? Pen and pencil, and here I go. I couldn't write fast enough the words that the Lord was downloading into me. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about this truth that you see on the screen right now, about who you really are, about the great honor of being created in the image of God. You see, this truth can transform you. It can change your thinking about yourself, and it can bring about great healing, freedom, power, joy. The series is called Image Bearers, and that's the phrase that I read in our new Bible study, Image Bearers. And as I read it, it was one of those times when it jumped off the page and just spoke to me, to my spirit. Image bearers. We, you and I, are created to be image bearers. What's an image bearer? You know, an image bearer, it carries the image of the one who entrusted it to them. An image bearer takes on the image of the one who gave it for the purpose of representing that person, for the purpose of showing others what that person is like. We say he's the spitting image of his father, right? Spitting image. You know, I like to find out where things come from, you know. I thought, where did that ever come from? Spitting image? What's going on with that? And I realized back in the day, in the old days, the phrase actually started out by saying, he's the spit of his father. Meaning that he looked so much like his father that his father just spit him out. That's where it came from. And then so they added image. So they said, he's the spit and image of his father. And you know how things happen. We shorten them, and it finally it ends up being he's the spit and image of his father. Meaning he's made of the same stuff, and he looks just like him. Huh. Well, an image bearer is one who is called to look just like his father, our heavenly father, representing him, going out in his name, acting on his behalf. You know, we were getting ready for the Super Bowl, and I thought, I remember the incident when Michael Vick, you know, was found with the whole, what was it, betting on dogs or dog fights or something like that. And I read that, you know, he actually was in prison. He lost $142 million in endorsements as a result of that. Rawlings, Nike. Why? Because those companies did not want any longer to have that image associated with their name. And so they pulled their endorsements, right? It's why the Patriot thing is it just keeps on circling, you know. It's because if they did, you know, no one wants their child to think of a Super Bowl champ as a cheater. You know, that's the reality. It's about when you represent something, someone or a name, you know, you want it to honor that name. You want it to represent it well. You want it to reflect the right image, right? Yeah. Well, listen, we're made to reflect the image of God. We are made to reflect the image of God, to be his image bearers. When Jesus walked upon this earth, he was the image bearer of the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I only do and say what the Father tells me. What he would do if he were here. I do, for I represent him. I'm here to bear his image to you for the purpose of bringing his blessings to you. That was Jesus. He came to bear the image of God, to show us what God was really like, and to bring God's blessings to us. Jesus said, as he walked upon this earth in human flesh, that he was the image bearer of the Father. For this purpose he came, to reveal the Father to us. How? By doing what the Father would do. Saying what the Father would say. By reflecting the Father's character in his life. That's what Jesus did. That was originally Adam's job. Come on now. This was originally the job that God gave Adam when he created him. When God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. God created the first Adam. And when he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion over the earth. He was saying, listen, I created all of this and I created you to represent me here in this earth that I made for you, to reflect me to all other parts of creation, to do what I would do. This is the domain I give you to represent me, to govern for me, to work for me. He said, your work is to represent, reflect me in all that you do. And as you bear my image to all creation, then all of creation will say, there's the man, there's the woman that reflects our Creator. There's the one. When we see them, we see the Creator, and we are blessed as they do what he would do. There's order. God created order in creation. And the order was that when man and woman were reflecting God, representing him, doing what he would do, there would be blessing upon the earth. And their job was to spread the blessings of Eden throughout the whole earth. That was their job. Listen, humankind was the crowning achievement of God's creation. And he created humankind to be blessed to the rest of all creation, bringing order, reflecting him, doing what he would do. Jesus said, you know, Father, glorify your name. The Father spoke back, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify my name through you, the Father said to Jesus. Jesus became the second Adam. How many have ever heard that phrase before? The second Adam. The scriptures tell us that Jesus came to do right what Adam blew. Jesus came to do it right. To fill what Adam was supposed to do, Jesus did it more. What Adam did affected all of us. When he blew it, when he sinned, it affected all of us. Every descendant of Adam, we inherited a sin nature, a marred image, a marred image. Think about that, a marred image. The tendency to not do what God would do, but do the opposite. That's the definition of evil. Doing the opposite of what God would do. A marred image. How many have ever gone to a carnival or the fair or a funhouse where you see those distorted mirrors? You know, those funhouse mirrors. You know, we laugh at as our faces distort or our bodies stretch out of proportion. Carnival mirrors are fun to play with at the county fair, but, you know, their effects would be terrible if they were real. If we really did look like that. Sin has distorted the image of God within us. Like that carnival mirror. That's what sin did. It distorted the image of God within us. It marred it. So Jesus came to show us, again, what it should look like. What that image should look like. Jesus came to do over what Adam was supposed to do. Jesus undid what Adam did. He undid it by doing only what the Father would do. So that, listen, all those men who would follow after Jesus, the second Adam, would be blessed, would be restored to that original image, and be able to reflect it once again, doing what God would do. As a result, bring blessing to the world. Blessing. All creation. Jesus is the second Adam. And the scripture says that he is the firstborn among many brothers. Think about that phrase with me a second. Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. You are Jesus' brother, sister. He's the firstborn among many, meaning that he enabled a new creation, a new birthright, a new order of creation, following him, the second Adam, not the first. And because of it, when you receive Christ, you are born again. Born again. What does that mean? Given new life, a new nature within you now. You're a new creation, the scripture says, with a new opportunity given to you to do again what the first Adam was supposed to. What humans were created to do in the first place by God, to be his image bearer. That's who you are. That's who Jesus made you. And so Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so send I you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples, is about going and representing God, reflecting him. Doing what he would do, helping others to do the same. But Jesus said to his disciples, don't just go yet. Wait. Remember? He rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples for 40 days after Easter Sunday, after the resurrection. He taught them about the kingdom of God. And then he said, wait. I give you the Great Commission to go, but wait until you have received the promise, which I had told you about. Wait till you receive what? The Holy Spirit. This is what Peter said when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost. This is what was prophesied by Joel. In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters. Right? Jesus taught the Gospel of John 14, 15, 16, all about, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll take from what is mine and make it known to you. He'll reveal it to you. He will make my will known to you. What I would do if I were there, you will know so that you can do it. He said, he will come and fill you. Fill me. What? That had never happened before. Fill me, yes. Jesus said, when I walked upon this earth, I was a temple of the Holy Ghost. He had walked past the temple one day, and his disciples were talking about those beautiful stones, you know, and the work, the masterwork of the temple. It was gorgeous. And Jesus looked at him and said, I tell you the truth, tear that down, in 3 days I'll raise it back up again. They looked at him, what? But they didn't realize that he was talking about himself, his body, 3 days. And it'll be raised up again. For when Jesus walked upon the earth, he was the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? Listen, that's what we are. You are. You are made to be the habitation of God. You have God's glory within you. Your job now is to get it out, to shine it. Let it shine. Remember that old song? I'm gonna let it shine. That's our job. That's how we be his witness. What are witnesses? You say, he was a witness. He heard. He saw something, right? Yeah, that's what we are, witnesses. For we go in his name to bring blessing. That's our job. Romans 8 says, all creation's waiting, groaning, waiting for the sons and the daughters of God to do this very thing. Ha, bring blessing to the world. Jesus is the Son of God, and we are his brothers. That makes us sons and daughters of the same Father, right? Jesus is our brother. If Jesus is our brother, who's our Father? Right? We're his image bearers, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, created to bring blessing to this earth so that God is glorified. Jesus said it this way, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Bring blessing to the world, the fruit of God's Spirit within you. Listen, Christianity alone can do this. I want to just preach a little bit here. I want to tell you something. There's no other religion in all the world that has this power, that has this truth, that has this claim. Islam can't do it. It's a false religion, that's why. Is Islam bringing blessing to this world? Huh? Well, they believe, you know, the promise. Let me tell you something. When God appeared to Abraham, he said to Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Do you ever read that Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3? The first covenant God made was an eternal covenant, an everlasting covenant, meaning it's still in effect. It never got done away with. The covenant of Abraham was that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Listen, we are now understanding that Jesus became, he was the seed of Abraham that was prophesied in that promise. Now it came, of course, through Isaac, the child of promise, and then from Isaac to Jacob, right? Now the Muslims believe that Abraham's first son, Ishmael, to the slave woman, Hagar, whom they are descendants of, that was the rightful heir. But that's not what God chose. God chose Isaac, and then Jacob. And then from Jacob, through one of his sons, Judah, came the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Through David's descendant, King David, now the King of Kings would come. The scepter would rest upon him. This is the seed of Abraham that was prophesied that would bring blessing to the world. Jesus. Christianity alone has this truth. God's will, the one true God, chose Jesus from the foundation of the earth to come to this earth as a man to show us God's image, to heal us through his sacrifice, and to fill us with his Spirit that we might also bear the image of God. Listen, Israel was given this mandate first. You remember? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Jacob. God chose, he created the nation of Israel for this reason. Their job was to represent God. God called them forth as a nation to show the world what it meant like to walk in covenant with God, to reflect his character. The Ten Commandments were all about that. A standard of morality, of holiness, that the world might see. The nation of Israel blew it. They blew it, but God knew it. He had a plan through his son. Jesus was the seed of Abraham, the one through whom the blessing would come. Through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, we are to pick up that torch, church. The church is now the new Israel, the scriptures call us. The new Israel, the church, is to do what Israel failed to do. Now that's our torch. That's our mandate to bring blessing to the world. We become the children of God. That's who we are. We've been filled, sealed with the presence of God. We're to reflect that presence to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Pastor, isn't everyone a child of God? No. Not until you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, given a new life.
Second Adam. Then you become sons and daughters of the Most High God, and Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother, his sister. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last man, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Spiritual did not come first, the natural after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, so also are those, us, who are from heaven. And just as we have been born in the likeness of the earthly man, so we now, born again, shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Paul tells us to take off the old, put on the new. You know, when Lazarus came forth from the grave, Jesus said, take off his grave clothes. Some of us still got our grave clothes on. The clothes of our old self. We got to recognize whose image we're called to bear. Take off those stinking clothes. Take off the old, put on the new. You're a new creation in Christ. It's not who you are anymore. God made you new. Put on the new self, it says in Colossians chapter 3. We know that the goal of our faith is to become like Christ, right? Boy, oh, that all Christians throughout the world would know this. This is the mandate that we've lost sight of as the church. Now, I'm not talking about our church, the church that meets at Acts, but I'm talking about the church big, the writ large church. This is the mandate we lost sight of. You know, we spend a lot of effort doing stuff to try to get people saved, and rightly so, but we forget that that's the first step. The goal of our faith is to represent Christ, to be like Him, to be transformed into His likeness so that we can bear His image to the world, reflect His goodness. You were created into the family of God that was created to bring blessing to the world, to bring order, to bring healing, to bring salt, to bring light, to bring life. All believers are called to be ministers of reconciliation to this world, to renewal. But Christians, you know what happens? They say, oh, but pastors, who am I? Who am I? I want to tell you who you are. You are who God says you are, not who your neighbor says you are, not who someone who just doesn't know. Someone at work that points at you and calls you things they shouldn't. You are who God says you are. Who you've been made in the image of. Yeah, that image was marred by sin, but Jesus came and removed that mar. Through Him, you're a new creation. But let me tell you, your mind needs to catch up with your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your mind needs to catch up with your spirit. Your spirit is born again. Immediately made new. Now your spirit's able to receive the image of God, the Spirit of God. But your mind gets in the way. The devil knows this. So he does what he has always done. He lies to you. Every day he lies to you, telling you who he thinks you are. It's what the devil does. It's what he did to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. Don't you remember? Jesus is out there and he says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. What was he trying to do? Same thing he tries to do to you. Doubt who you are in Christ. And he succeeds too often. He didn't with Jesus. He doesn't have to with you. Who do you think you are, the devil says. You're trying to be this goody-goody Christian, but you know how bad you are. You know what you think sometimes. You know what you do. Paul said, I understand the battle that goes within me, that sometimes the good I want to do, I don't do. That's the bad I do. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Oh, what a wretched man I am. But he doesn't stop there. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ who has rescued me, who has called me to be the righteousness of God, who allows me to put on a robe of righteousness that when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's who I am. Don't ever look at somebody and say, I'm a wretched sinner. That's who you used to be. Before you put on Christ. That's who the devil wants you to think you are. So you'll still act that way. That's the game he plays. It's not who you are. Through faith in Christ, he has imparted unto you the righteousness of Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ. I have been born again. Your spirit knows it. The evil spirits even know it. There were these seven sons of Sceva. They were Jews. They had heard about Paul and Jesus, preaching Jesus, delivering people from evil spirits. So they thought, cool, we're going to try it. So they go out, and there's this guy just possessed, demon-possessed, man, going nuts. And they go over to this guy and lay hands on him, and they said, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. You know what happened? That evil spirit in that man said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Turned and whooped that guy's butt. Gave him such a whoop, and the seven of them ran away bleeding, screaming. Why? The evil spirit didn't know who they were. He knew who Jesus was. Knew who Paul was. But who are you? But you who have believed in Jesus. You who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They know who you are. Do you know who you are? Do you walk in that authority? Or do you let the devil still lie to you? Stop the stinking thinking. Stop thinking you are less than who you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Stop thinking that you're a miserable sinner. That's who you were before you met Christ. You've been born again. Don't be saying, I'm a failure, I'm no good. That's the devil speak. Those are lies from the pit of hell. Your spirit bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God, a son of the Most High God, recreated in His image, in His likeness to reflect His glory, to bring blessing. You are the means that God has chosen to bring blessing to you, to your wives and your husbands, to your daughters and your sons, your grandchildren, your workplace, your community, your nation, your world. By reflecting God, representing Him, bearing His image. That's you. You are God's image bearers. Put it on. Learn to wear it well. Get it in here. This is who you are. I want to make some declarations with you here this morning, and I want you to make them with me. I really believe that this message is intended to really impart something to us that we need before we leave here today. And I just pray that now that God would impart this to you and would change you. I want to make some declarations. And it all falls under this banner. Listen. I want you to be able to say these words with me. I am who I am because the great I am says I am. You get that? I am who I am because the great I am says I am. I am who I am because the great I am says I am. I am not a failure. I can do all things through Christ. I am called to show forth the praises of God who has called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am a child of God. I am born again. I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am a partaker of His divine nature. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people purchased for God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the light of the world. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. I am greatly loved by God. I am strengthened with all might according to His glorious power that so mightily works within me now. I am who I am, because the great I am says I am. Would you stand with me this morning? I am who I am, because the great I am says I am. Here's how we have to act upon this word. For some of us, we've been listening to the lies of the devil and we have been bruised, even sometimes crushed as a result of it, under the weight of the sin of wrong comparison. There are some of us here this morning that have felt that weight, that have felt that they don't measure up. And God wants to set you free from that sin today. There are some of us that have been living not up to that high calling. By again listening to the devil's lies, we do the things that he says we are according to that old self. And we need to repent and say to God, that's not me. I know I'm not reflecting your image well when I do those things. And so today, I repent that I may be cleansed anew, that mar may be gone, and I may accurately reflect your image again. And there are some here this morning that have never truly been born again of the second Adam, Jesus, allowing their spirit to be recreated in the image of God by truly, I mean truly, saying to God, I believe in you, Jesus, and I need you in my life, and I need your forgiveness to cleanse me, and I want to be born of you. I want a new opportunity to be a new creation, and I want to walk in your righteousness. Clothe me with your robe of righteousness. So this morning, my prayer is that you act upon this word. You who are beset with the sin of wrong comparison and feel its weight, be released in Jesus' name. You who have been living below the high calling by listening to the devil's lies, that's not who you are. Turn to God. Be forgiven anew. Allow that mar to be cleansed today. Receive Christ anew. This morning, I just want to open the altar for a very special prayer. And I believe that as the Lord speaks to you now, that he wants you changed before you leave this place. So I want to pray with you that God releases you from the sin of comparison, that he takes that weight from you, and he shows you who you are in him. I want to pray for you this morning. Come this morning. Come to receive from the Lord cleansing, strengthening, empowering, freedom. In Jesus' name. Abba, Father. Lord, we come to you. You are the great I am. Lord, I am who I am because you, the great I am, says I am. I want to stop believing, Lord God, the lies from the devil. I am not a failure. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the head and not the tail. Lord, I'm sorry for living my life under the need to be someone who I'm not. I feel the pressure of comparison in my life, thinking I have to measure up to somebody else's standard. When you have accepted me as I am, and you have made me the righteousness of Christ. Lord, free me today. Free me today, Lord God. And help me, Lord God, to see clearly who I am. I am who I am because the I am says I am. Lord, let me reflect your glory, your image. Let me carry it well. Let me be called an image bearer because that's who I am. Let me, Lord, bring light and life to this world. That's what I'm called to do. And today, Lord, to do it, I receive you. I receive you, Lord. Cleansing, power, love, and light. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So practice it. Turn to somebody this morning and say those words, I am who I am because the great I am says I am. I am who I am because the great I am says I am. Amen. God bless you.